Welcome to Zichud Daf Siman Member by Avram Goldar, and today Masechet Shavuos Daf Mem Tes, the eighth parak Arba Shomnin, and the final Daf of the Masechta. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, the eighth parak begins Arba Shomrinhin. There are four types of Shomrim: Shomer Chinam, Vashoel, Nosei Sachar, Vasocher, an unpaid Shomer, a borrower, a paid Shomer, and a renter. Shomer Chinam, Nishba Ohakol. A Shomer Chinam swears with regard to everything, meaning all types of loss described by the Torah for which other Shomrim pay, and only pays for negligence. A Shoel pays for any type of loss, including Ones. A Shomer Sachar and Socher both swear Ashvur, Vahashvuya, Vahamesa, when claiming the animal broke a limb, was captured by armed robbers, or died naturally, all of which are unavoidable onsin, umishalmin esa aveda vesa gneva, and pay for loss or theft, which are somewhat avoidable. Later, Rav Nachman quotes Rabbi Bar Avuha that this Tana, who says a socher pays like a shomer sachar, is Rav Meir. The Gemara objects that a Braisa teaches the very opposite. The Rav Meir considers a socher like a shomer chinam, and Rabbi Yehuda considers him like a shomer sachar. The Gemara answers that Rabbi Bar Avuha teaches an opposite version of this Braisa. Since there are only three categories of payments, the Mishnah means arba shomrin v'dinehen shosha. There are four types of shomrim, and their laws are three categories. Point number two, the Mishnah proceeds to list many cases of false shvuos of shomrim and teaches that the shomer is only chayav for karban asham when a shvua exempted him from the liability he would have had according to the truth, and he later admitted swearing falsely. This is summarized with a rule. Kol mishanam achova l'chova, whoever changes from a liability to another liability, for example, a borrower swore the borrowed animal died and actually was captured, and he was responsible anyway, umi p'tur l'p'tur, or he changes from an exemption to another exemption, for example, that case before with a shomer chinam, where he would be exempt for either event, umi p'tur l'chova, or one who changes from an exemption to liability, for example, a shomer sachar swore it was stolen, and he's chayev when it actually had died, and he was exempt, p'tur. He's exempt in all these cases from a karban ashim because his shvua did not exempt him from payment. However, if his shvua changed from liability to exemption, for example, a shomer sachar swore it died when it actually was stolen and he was responsible, he's chayav a karban. And point number three, Rabbi Yami said, "Kol shvua shahadayani mashmin osa, any shvua which the judges impose, does not have a carbon olav yord obligation for a false oath of utterance, even when there's no carbon ashem for denying money. Because a pasuk says, O nefesh ki tishba levati besvasayim, or if a person will swear, expressing with his lips, implying that he swore ma'atzmo, on his own, not one who is compelled by Beis Din to swear. This interpretation is based on Reish Lakish's principle that the word ki, usually translated as because, has four different meanings, e, dilma, ela, doha, if, perhaps, but, and because. And Rabbi Ami interprets it here as if. Belazer disagrees and says one is liable for a shvuas bitui, even for a shvuas imposed by Basin, except in cases where he's chai for a shvuas a shomrin, for example, a shoh who swore that he never borrowed because he swore falsely to deny owing money. So once again, the three points are, number one, the eighth parak begins, Arba Shomrinhin. There are four types of Shomrim. Shomer Chinam, Vashoel, Nosa Sachar, Vasocher. An unpaid Shomer, a borrower, a paid Shomer, and a renter. Shomer Chinam, Nishba Ohakol. A Shomer Chinam swears with regard to everything, meaning all types of loss described by the Torah for which other Shomrim pay, and only pays for negligence. A Shoel pays for any type of loss, including Ones. A Shomer Sachar and Socher both swear Ashvur, Vahashvuya, Vahamesa, when claiming the animal broke a limb, was captured by armed robbers, or died naturally, all of which are unavoidable onsin, umishalmin esa aveda vesa gneva, and pay for loss or theft, which are somewhat avoidable. Later, Rav Nachman quotes Rabbi Bar Avuha that this Tana, who says a Socher pays like a Shomer Sachar, is Rav Meir. The Gemara objects that a Braisa teaches the very opposite. The Rav Meir considers a socher like a shomer chinam, and Rabbi Yehuda considers him like a shomer sachar. The Gemara answers that Rabbi Bar Avuha teaches an opposite version of this Braisa. Since there are only three categories of payments, the Mishnah means arba shomrin v'dinehen shosha. There are four types of shomrim, and their laws are three categories. Point number two, the Mishnah proceeds to list many cases of false shvuos of shomrim and teaches that shomer is only chayav for karban ashem when a shvua exempted him from the liability he would have had according to the truth, and he later admitted swearing falsely. This is summarized with a rule. Whoever changes from a liability to another liability, for example, a borrower swore the borrowed animal died and actually was captured, and he was responsible anyway, or he changes from an exemption to another exemption, for example, that case before with the Shomer Chinam, where he would be exempt for either event, or one who changes from an exemption to a liability, for example, a Shomer Sachar swore it was stolen, and he's chayev when it actually had died, and he was exempt, Pater. He's exempt in all these cases from a carbon ashen because his shvua did not exempt him from payment. However, if his shvua changed from liability to exemption, for example, a shomer sachar swore it died when it actually was stolen and he was responsible, he's chayv a carbon. And point number three, Rabbi Yami said, "Kol shvua shahadayanim mashmin osa, any shvua which the judges impose, does not have a carbon olav yord obligation for a false oath of utterance, even when there's no carbon ashem for denying money. Because a pasuk says, O nefesh ki tishba levati besvasayim, or if a person will swear, expressing with his lips, implying that he swore ma'atzmo, on his own, not one who is compelled by beis din to swear. This interpretation is based on Reish Lakish's principle that the word ki, usually translated as because, has four different meanings, e, dilma, ela, doha, if, perhaps, but, and because. And Rabbi Ami interprets it here as if. Melazer disagrees and says one is liable for a shvuah's bitui, even for a shvuah's imposed by basin, except in cases where he's chai for a shvuah's a shomrin, for example, a shoh who swore that he never borrowed, because he swore falsely to deny owing money. All right, so now we get our siman daf mem tes, and our standard siman is meat, and we often use a butcher in the siman. So here goes. The butcher explained to the four shomrim who entered his shop that the carbon ashem cut of meat was only available to those who swore mechov alif tur, and that they weren't eligible for the olav yored discount since the shvuah's bitui is not imposed on those compelled by beis din to swear. Once again, slow motion. The butcher, that must be on daf mem tes, meat. The butcher explained to the four shomrim who entered his shop, which reminds us, the eighth perek begins, Arba shomrim hen. There are four types of shomrim, shomer chinam v'ashol, nosei sachar v'asocher, and it details when they're obligated to take a shvuah. So the butcher explained to the four shomrim who entered his shop that the carbon ashem cut of meat was only available to those who swore mechov alif tur, which reminds us a shomer's carbon liability is for when his false shvuah saved him from paying. So the butcher explained to the four shomrim who entered his shop that the carbon ashem cut of meat was only available to those who swore mechov alif tur, and that they weren't eligible for the olav yor discount since ashua's bitui is not imposed on those compelled by beis din to swear, which reminds us, Rabbi Ami said, Kol shvuah shadayani mashmin osa, any shvuah that the judges impose, ein ba mishum shvuah's bitui, does not have an olav yor obligation for a false oath of utterance, even when there's no carbon ashem for denying money, because the pasuk says, O nefesh ki tishba levati besvasayim, or if a person will swear, expressing with his lips, implying that he swore ma'atzmo on his own, not one who is compelled by beis din to swear. Rabbi Elazar disagrees and says one is chai for shvuah's bitui, even for shvuah's imposed by beis din, except in cases where he's chai for shvuah's shomrin, for example, a shoh who swore that he never borrowed because he swore falsely to deny owing money. So once again, the butcher explained to the four shomrim who entered his shop that the carbon ashem cut of meat was only available to those who swore mechov alif tur, and that they weren't eligible for the olav yor discount since Ashua's bitui is not imposed on those compelled by beis din to swear. Hadron Alach Maseches Shvuos. Mazel Tov, everyone. I'm being Masayim, the 26th Masechta in this Daf Yomi Machzor. A grand total of 48 blot, 144 points. Now organized in our mind for efficient review and long-term retention using Simanim. May Kosh Baruch Hu continue to bench us with Hatzlach in our learning and Chazara. And may we continue to go Mechal Ochal as we begin the next Masechta, Maseches Avodah Zorah. And may we be Zocha to make a Kinyan in all Shas together with Simanim. The butcher explained to the four shomrim who entered his shop that the carbon ashem cut of meat was only available to those who swore mechov alif tur, and that they weren't eligible for the olav yor discount since ashua's bitui is not imposed on those compelled by beis din to swear. All right, so now it's time for four blot back chazara. Daf mem hey. So the symbol for daf mem hey is manishtana. So here goes. At the Pesach supermarket, the kids sang manishtana, manishtana. That must be more on daf Mem hey. At the Pesach supermarket, the kids sang, Ma Nishtana, why is this worker allowed to swear he wasn't paid? And answered because the boss was preoccupied with his employees, which reminds us. The Mishnah taught that if a sacher, a hired worker, claims he was not yet paid, and the employer says he already paid him, the sacher swears and collects his wages. The Gemara ultimately explains, Baal Bais Taru, the employer is preoccupied with his workers and may mistakenly think he paid when he did not. Therefore, the rabbis allowed the employee to swear he was not paid and collect. The Gemara asks that if so, he should not even need to swear, and answers, Kedei lahapis daito shel baal habayis, to appease the mind of the employer, who would be frustrated if the employee could simply claim he was not paid and collect. So at the Pesach supermarket, the kids sang, Ma nishtana, why is this worker allowed to swear he wasn't paid? And answered, because the boss was preoccupied with his employees, followed by Ma nishtana again, why can't these two workers swear? And point to one who came after payday, which reminds us. The Gemara asks, if a sacher can swear and collect his wages because the employer is preoccupied with his workers, why does the Braisa state, Avir zman v'lo nasanlo, once the time for payment has passed and he claims the employer has still not paid him, he cannot swear and collect? It explains, Chazaka ein baal bayis over b'baal talin. There is a presumption that an employer does not violate the prohibition to delay payment overnight. So at the Pesach supermarket, the kids sang, Ma nishtana, why is this worker allowed to swear he wasn't paid? And answered, because the boss was preoccupied with his employees. Followed by Ma nishtana again, why can't these two workers swear? And pointed to one who came after payday and another who wasn't hired in front of Edim, which reminds us, Shmuel said that a sacher can only swear and collect where he was hired in the presence of Edim. Otherwise, since the employer could have said to him, I never hired you, he is also able to say to him, I hired you, but I paid your wages, and is believed that he clearly remembers having paid. Daf Mem Vav. So the simmer Daf Mem Vav is a cow that goes moo. So here goes. While the farmer swore he only owes his farmhand one sella for milking his cow, that must be on Daf Mem Vav. Moo. While the farmer swore he only owes his farmhand one sella for milking his cow instead of the two slime, the worker says, was stipulated, which reminds us, Shmuel was asked, if the worker says, Shtaim kutsatzteli, you stipulate to pay me wages of two slime, and the employer claims he only agreed to pay one sella, who swears? He answered that the employer swears and the sacher loses because although an employer may forget if he paid his worker, people certainly remember the stipulation amount. However, Yehuda taught that a worker swears and collects even in such a case, provided the employer admits he still owes him part of the amount claimed. So, while the farmer swore he only owes his farmhand one sella for milking his cow, instead of the two slime the worker says was stipulated, and the rancher swore that his creditor entered his barn without permission and took his cowbell, which reminds us the Mishnah taught that a nigzal may swear and collect and gives an example of a creditor who entered one's house to seize a mashkin without permission, and the homeowner claims that the creditor took his kalim. The alleged nigzal can swear that his kalim were taken and collect payment. So, while the farmer swore he only owes his farmhand one sella for milking his cow, instead of the two slime the worker says was stipulated, and the rancher swore that his creditor entered his barn without permission and took his cowbell, a man who was seen entering the milkman's house and hiding bottles in his clothing was not believed to say he purchased them because five conditions had been met. Which reminds us, Rav Yehuda says that if Edim saw someone enter another person's house and hide utensils in his clothing and leave, he could not claim he bought them. However, this only applies where five conditions are met. The first two being, number one, the homeowner does not ordinarily sell his kalim, and number two, these kalim are not ordinarily hidden when carried in public. Daf Mem Zayin. So the simmer Daf Mem Zayin is a maze. So here goes. The man in the guard tower at the maze, that must be on Daf Mem Zayin. The man in the guard tower at the maze watched as a pair of Bali Din disqualified from making a shavua search for the proper place to put back the shavua, which reminds us, the Mishnah taught that if both litigants are suspect regarding shavuos, Rabbi Yossi holds chazra hashvulim koma, the oath returns to its place, and Mer says they divide the disputed amount evenly. The Gemara here ultimately reverses the opinions and discusses the opinion that the shavua returns to its place. Rabbi Ami said, Rabbi Samuel Shabbat Bavel, our teachers in Bavel, identified as Rav and Shmuel, hold chazra shavua l'sinai. The shavua returns to Sinai, meaning no one swears, and the defendant does not pay, but is beholden to the shavua, sworn at Har Sinai not to steal, and whoever does will be punished. Rabbi Samuel Shabbat Eretz Yisrael, our teachers in Eretz Yisrael, identified as Rabbi Abba, holds chazra shavua l'mechuyivra. The shavua returns to the one obligated to make, meaning the nitba, who was originally liable to swear. So the man in the guard tower at the maze watched as a pair of Bali Din disqualified from making a shvua, searched for the proper place To put back the shvua, while in the middle of the maze at the amazing maze store, some workers and the store owner were both swearing and collecting from a baal bias, which reminds us the Mishnah Daf Mem Hei Amud Aleph taught that a chenveni al Picasso, a storekeeper, regarding his ledger, may swear and collect. This means that if an employer told a storekeeper to pay his workers and the chenveni claims he did so, but the workers claimed they were not paid, both parties swear to support their claim and collect from the employer, resulting in his paying twice. So the man in the guard tower at the maze watched as a pair of Bali Din disqualified from making a shvua, searched for the proper place to put back the shvua. While in the middle of the maze at the amazing maze store, some workers and the store owner were both swearing and collecting from a baal bias. And at the exit, two pairs of Edim who contradicted each other were exiting to say their own edus each about something else, which reminds us of two pairs of Edim contradict each other. Rav Huna says this pair may come alone and testify in another court case, and that pair may come alone and testify elsewhere. Neither is disqualified because they retain their assumed reliability out of doubt. Rav Chisda said, Bahadi Sahadi Shakri Lamali, why would I be involved with lying witnesses? Neither pair can testify again since one of them definitely lied. Daf Mem Ches. So the Simmer Daf Mem Ches is a brainiac based on Moach. So here goes. At the annual Brainiac Bowl, Brainiac, that must be more on Daf Mem Ches, Moach. At the annual Brainiac Bowl, where the son of the late famous professor knew not to swear to Yosomim about his father's unpaid loan because he could only say he wasn't aware it had been repaid. Which reminds us, the Mishnah Daf Mem Hei Amud Aleph taught, as Gemara explains, that Yosomim may only collect from other Yosomim with their Shvuah that they received no information that the debt was paid, just like their father would have to swear to collect from the Yosomim. Rav and Shmuel say this only applies if the lender died first, but if the borrower died first, Kvar Nischayv Mavaliv Nei Lovo Shvuah, the lender himself was already obligated to the borrower's children to take a Shvuah to collect from them, since one can only collect from Yosomim with a Shvuah, mean Ademor Shvuah Levanav, and one cannot bequeath a debt requiring a shvuah to his children, since the father would have had to swear that he did not collect the debt, and the children can only swear that they are not aware that the debt was collected. Rav Elazar disagreed. So at the annual Brainiac Bowl, where the son of the late famous professor knew not to swear to Yosomim about his father's unpaid loan because he could only say he wasn't aware it had been repaid, while the lab assistant living in the professor's home was forced to swear he didn't keep any lab equipment for himself, which reminds us, partners, sharecroppers, a woman who manages her husband's possessions, and a ben bias, which is a member of the household, must swear even to a taina shema, an uncertain claim. Our brisa clarifies this last case does not mean one who walks in and out of the properties, but one who manages their financial affairs. The Gemara explains why these people must swear based on an uncertain claim, mishum demora bahetera, because they rationalize a permit for themselves to retain some of the possessions for themselves since they work to manage the properties. So at the annual Brainiac Bowl, where the son of the late famous professor knew not to swear to Yosomim about his father's unpaid loan because he could only say he wasn't aware it had been repaid, while the lab assistant living in the professor's home was forced to swear he didn't keep any lab equipment for himself, the judges announced the winner was the Brainiac who presented his thesis on Mahu Agalga B'drabanan regarding a shutuf and an Ari, which reminds us, the Gemara asks, Mahu Agalga B'drabanan, what is the halacha regarding rolling a shvuah based on a rabbinic shvuah? If an Ari later became obligated in a shvuah d'rabbanan, can he be forced to swear he did not steal anything as an Ari? The Gemara ultimately proves that we are magalga based on a shvuah d'rabbanan. All right, so now it's time to conclude with our pop quiz of 10 questions. Number 1, which daf did we learn ein ademorish shvuah levanav? That's on daf Memchas. Good. Number 2, which daf did we learn about the arbet shomrim and when they're chayev to take a shvuah? That's on daf Memtes. Good. Number 3. Which daf you learn that a sucker cannot swear and collect once the time for payment has passed? That's on daf Memhei. Good. Number 4. Which daf do you learn about the people who have to swear when a taina shem is made against them, including a ben bias? That's on daf Memches. Good. Number 5. Which daf do you learn chokas about a mashkum preventing Shemitah from canceling a loan? That's on daf Memdalad. Good. Number 6. Which daf did we learn that a shomer's carbon ashma liability is for when his false shvuah saved him from paying? That's on daf Memtes. Good. Number 7. Which daf did we learn that a soccer hired without aiding cannot swear to collect? That's on daf Memhei. Good. Number 8. Which daf do we have a mochokas if there's a carbon for a shvuah's bitui for a shvuah imposed by Beistin? That's on daf Memtes. Good. Number 9. Which daf do we discuss the case of Chenveni al Pinkaso? That's on daf Mem Zion. Good. Number 10. Which stuff did we learn that the reason a hard worker can swear and collect his wages is because the ball bias is preoccupied with his employees? That's on Duff. Mem Hey. Excellent. That concludes today's shir. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldar from Zichur, wishing you a great day and great learning.